My wife and I were talking the other day, and Donna was talking about, something she saw in the news or TV or heard somewhere, and she was saying, well, there's some catty girls. So we talked a little bit about what does it mean to be a catty person. And it got me thinking about a show that we wanted to share with you called Daughters and Catty Girls. But I think this next 28 minutes will be helpful for you as a parent, a mom or dad, as you think about daughters and their relationship with their friends at school, as we're now going back to school, and what that means. And I think you'll find it helpful. We'd love to have your input on the show today. What do you do when your daughter has a catty friend, or maybe your daughter is the catty one herself? What do you do? Give us a call live here on our comment line at 888-888-1717. And by the way, those that you're going to be hearing on the program today are from our archives from a recorded show that we wanted to share with you today. I think you'll find them very encouraging and helpful for you. Again, the phone number for your comments, love to hear from you on this topic through our storyline, is 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number. All right, let's get started right off here with Carla. She loves her kids, like all moms, wants to be a good mom. And Carla, it sounds like there are some catty teenagers at school creating a problem. Share with us what's up.
Well, my 13-year-old, they go to a small school, and there's four girls that would be friends. And what's happening is, and I know this isn't common among girls, but I don't know how to coach her on this. I was not this kind of kid at all. And my husband and I don't know what to do. There's four girls, and it seems like between my daughter and one other girl, every once in a while, they're deciding that you're not one of us, and then completely exclude her from things. And, they're on the same team, and then it's like, okay, so I'm supposed to just do things by myself. And again, it's a small school, so, you know, during recess, she'll try to walk over by them because normally they're friends, and they just walk away. And what's very hurtful is the fact that for the first 9 years of her life, the one girl who would be the popular one that everyone wants to be friends with, they were best friends. They were, you know, close. And then there's another girl that's come on the scene, and she's more the best friend now, and my daughter's had to work through that. And I've seen her show an ugly side of how, well, if she's going to take her away from me and not share her as a friend, I'm going to do that. So we've kind of worked through that, and she's accepted the fact that she won't be the best friend anymore, but we don't know what to tell her to do with this.
Hey, Carl, you know what the first thought I had was to say to your daughter, that's life. But you can't do that. Okay, I need some help here today to be intentional. What do you tell a 13-year-old? I mean, you love your daughter, and maybe you've been through this yourself. It happens with guys, too, but in this particular case, Carl, it's your daughter, 13 years old. You're in the orbit, and then you're out of orbit. You're friends, and you're not friends. And I've got some thoughts I want to get to here myself, but that is part of the way life works, isn't it? I mean, the fact is you can be on the inside, and you can be on the outside. And negotiating these friendships can be really difficult, and especially in these teen years, it can be very traumatic. And now adding in all the digital world and what goes on with the social networks and how they connect with each other and when they're in and when they're out and things that go on can be very difficult. So something more helpful than saying that's life, why don't you come and join us here today? I'd love to get your help. For Carla, on this topic, this certainly is a decision point for a mom wanting to do a really good job. The phone line is open, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. You know, I was thinking, as I heard you, Carla, talking about your daughter, sometimes one of the smartest things a person can do is not to fight trying to be in the inside group, you know, trying to be with the popular kids. I know that that's a desire, and I know we measure ourselves, but you know what? I bet you she looks around that cafeteria, or she looks around the school, and there's some other girls that, like her, that she could really connect with and be real true friends with that wouldn't be playing those kind of games. And we always kind of look at what we don't have. That's what we want to have. The friendship that's now kind of fickle back and forth, so we intensify trying to make that relationship work, and maybe encouraging her to find some friends that will be true friends, some kids she can connect with that won't be part of that circle. Got another thought I'll get to in a moment. Okay, the lines are busying up here. I'd love to have you join in. Hey, I know Carla could use your help on this. Telephone number is 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. We'll be back with your calls here in a minute. I can almost guarantee that your child needs this from you right now, today. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. What they need, in fact, what we all need, is a hope and a future. Because hope will give them encouragement for today, while a future will give them a picture of a better tomorrow. There are three ways of doing both hope and future for your children. Number one, you can do it through your words. The words that you speak to your children make a difference as you speak into their life and lift them. Number two is through the picture of the future that you give them through your own eyes. What do you see in them that maybe they don't even see in themselves for the future? And third, through the exposure to the stories of other people, people who have trusted God and grown in their relationship with Him. When you do those three things, that's a hope and a future for your children.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
And by the way, the Intentional Minute you just heard is also available on our Facebook page if you'd like to hear it again, or if you'd like to share it with someone who might need to hear a daily word of intentional encouragement. It's all available for you. Just go to facebook.com/intentionalliving, and you can also sign up to subscribe to have it sent to your home, or to your email rather, every day on video. Just 60 seconds to encourage you to live intentionally. Just joined us. Carla was a caller I talked to from Michigan a little bit ago, and she talked about having some problems with a 13-year-old daughter not fitting in with the group. You know, you're in, you're out. How sometimes, as it's been said over the years, there can be a catty experience going on, you know, where you're on the inside, then you're not. And how would you respond to that? Maybe you've been down that trail. And boy, we're getting some calls. So this is not a, by the way, Carly, you're not alone in this one, okay? 888-888-1717. Help for Carla. Here's Shannon. Hi there, Shannon. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Hi there. Are you?
Good, good. Do you have help, or are you in the same boat?
I'm in the same boat with my daughter, who is 13, and she's got a friend who does the same thing to her. She's done it twice now since sixth grade and has cut her out just because she listens to other friends, and then they're not friends, and then they are friends. But the one thing I've told her is that she is in a really critical time where I know she wants to have lots and lots of friends, but it's one of those things where I tell her she needs to just look at some qualities that she wants in a friend, special, you know, things that she values in friendships, and start looking for that in her friendships. And if it's not there, then maybe it's not a good friendship to have.
Yeah. Well, we do, you know, in adults, we have a whole series that I've taught on friendships where I say some friendships have an expiration date with adults. Sometimes they're not healthy. Sometimes they're not building into your life. Sometimes they've worn out their friendship in a negative way. And sometimes friendships have to be changed in adulthood. That's true with kids as well. So what kinds of things, I mean, what did you tell your daughter, and how did she respond to that?
It's hard. It's one of those ongoing conversations that we keep having, and it's a struggle because I've even had to do that same thing. I want to hold on to my friendships even into adulthood, and I've realized that there are friendships that I've had that I don't have anymore, and it hurts.
Yeah.
But I try to keep having an open conversation with her friends about the friends, and it's an ongoing battle that I have. So.
Have you ever shared with her your own battle? Have you ever talked about some of the friendships you've had to let go and why?
I do. I'm starting to talk to her. You know, she's like, I feel left out. You don't understand. I said, yes, I do understand. I was bullied as a kid. In your age, I do understand. So I tell her, and she's like, oh, yeah, you do understand.
That's good. And today, boy, I tell you, everything is on steroids when it comes to connectivity with kids, with the internet, and with their smartphones, and things can get not only difficult and be a little catty, as they say, but it can get downright bullying and hurtful for kids. All right. Well, Shannon, thank you for your call, and it sounds like you're being a good mom and doing what you can, helping navigate with your daughter through these difficult years.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Glad you're listening. Renee wants to join us as well from Michigan. Renee, welcome to the program. Go right ahead. What would you say to Carla today?
Okay, Carla. Yes, I raised all girls myself, and my husband had three daughters. They're grown now. They're adult women with children of their own, and they're 36, 29, and 26. We had a lot of drama, of course, with three daughters and, you know, a lot of friends coming in and out of our household. And, you know, the girls would get hurt when they would get caught up in that same situation where, you know, my best friend became a best friend with somebody else, et cetera. And we found that what worked for us was we would sit them down and, you know, kind of get at eye level with them, maybe even kneel down in front of them and say, you know, who are you? What, you know, what is your name? And, you know, you are a beautiful person. You know, we didn't raise you to not think highly of yourself. If these friends don't want to play nice or be nice to you, then, you know, you need to step away. It's just not worth it. Mm-hmm. You also need to have the mentality that you're worthy to be loved and to have friends. You know, you are, you know, and we'd say their name, you know, we raised you to be proud of yourself. Don't be bullied. Don't be let down by people like that. Just hold your head high. And then we'd have the other motto, and they still laugh about it now as adults. We'd say, well, why do you think they're bothering you? And the blank stare would happen, and we'd finally say, okay, here's the answer. Because you're letting them. Mm. Once you don't let them have the power and they don't get a reaction out of you, it will stop. You know, they're getting a reaction, so you're giving them the power. Take your power back. Be friendly. We're not telling you to be, you know, unfriendly, not polite. You need to treat people the way you want to be treated. Love your neighbor as yourself. We never, you know, we always instilled that. But don't allow that mentality of the snotty, snarky bullying to take place yeah. in your circle of friends. You don't have to. You don't
Very
have
good.
To.
That's good. That's good. Good wisdom. And you can look back at it now with your grown daughters and see what you did right. And sounds like you did things right on course. You know, two things that Renee did that we talk about in intentional living. One is you're acknowledging the fact that that's upsetting to your 13-year-old, Carla. You're just acknowledging, like we heard Renee say, hey, I know that hurts. I know that's difficult. It's not the way it's supposed to be. We didn't raise you, you know, to experience these kinds of things, but at the same time, here's some things that you can do. So it's kind of having the both hands. One hand is you're focusing on acknowledging their feelings, acknowledging that it's difficult, but then giving them some strategies. And the more they can accept the strategies in terms of making them their own, the better off they're going to be. And hopefully, because here at Intentional Living, our goal is to help you raise a responsible adult. That's part of what we do. And if you can train your children as teenagers to see how hurtful it is for them when they're excluded, it'll help them not to exclude others. In other words, they become more intentional in terms of their relationship with other friends and people they run into, not only as teenagers, but throughout life. If you just joined us earlier, I talked with Carla, and Carla sort of is the question of the day. She's facing a decision with how to counsel her 13-year-old daughter. Knowing some of you missed it, can we play an excerpt from that call, and then we'll come back and take some more calls as you're joining in to help Carla and others who may have maybe a little bit of problems with a teenage son or daughter where they're being excluded from or excluding others in their circle of friends.
Well, my 13-year-old, they go to a small school, and there's four girls that would be friends. And what's happening is, and I know this isn't common among girls, but I don't know how to coach her on this. I was not this kind of kid at all. And my husband and I don't know what to do. There's four girls, and it seems like between my daughter and one other girl, every once in a while, they're deciding that you're not one of us, and then completely exclude her from things, and you know, like they're on the same team, and then it's like, okay, so I'm supposed to just do things by myself. And again, it's a small school, so you know, during recess she'll try to walk over by them because normally they're friends, and they just walk away. And what's very hurtful is the fact that for the first 9 years of her life, the one girl who would be the popular one that everyone wants to be friends with, they were best friends.
All right, that was Carla, and you want to respond. Obviously, Carla, you're not alone. 888-888-1717. Let's go. Rose is in California with a comment on this today. Go right ahead, Rose.
Yes. Good morning, and God bless everyone.
Thank you.
You know, I just want to start out by saying that the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Mm. And with that, you know, the Lord's strength needs to be realized. And as parents, you know, like the one commentator said, you know, that's the way of the world or that's life or something like that. It's true. But what we have to do with our children, in my opinion, is that we have to instill in them the power and the might of God's Holy Spirit, and that they are children of God, each mm-hmm. of them.
Now, did you have this situation with your children?
Well, when I was, I'm an only daughter, and I have five brothers, and my father always told me, nobody is better than you. You're as good as everyone else. And he always told me that. So, you know, I have two daughters and I have three granddaughters.
Mm. How old are your granddaughters?
My granddaughters are 4, 12, and 15.
Have you seen it with the teenage ones? The older ones?
I have. Like I said, what I've just said and how I feel is my granddaughters have, I tell them that.
Yeah.
I tell them that. So they know when to stay and they know when not to stay, to mm-hmm. leave a situation or a relationship where it's not even.
Well, you know, it's so difficult too, I think, Rose, because this is such a vulnerable age and it's a transitional age, you know, the 13, 14-year-old young boys and girls and wanting to be accepted, wanting to be included. And today, I think it's even more so than ever because of the social world that we live in and the connectivity of the world. And as we share with our kids, acknowledging that it's difficult for them, this is a process they're going through. It's not always going to be the feelings that they're having, but then equipping them with some really practical things that they can do. One is, and I really believe this, if you can help your son or daughter see that there are kids around them that have needs, that there are other children that they could reach out to and have a connectivity with them and minister to them or love them or care for them. That is such a powerful thing, you know. And I think if we can help instill in the hearts of our teenagers that there's a world of hurt around them, and if they can see the needs of others and start to have an attitude to reach out and touch other people in need and care for other people, and not always looking to find that connection with that group or with that person that, frankly, is not necessarily the best kind of friend for them anyway, and develop these kind of one-on-one positive relationships that parents sometimes we can help orchestrate. It can be very a positive thing for their lives. All right. Thank you, Rose. Appreciate your call. I'll tell you what, today we've hit a nerve and we'd love to have you join in. We're going to stay here and continue to record these afterward for a later program. But many of you as moms and dads have related to this as it comes to helping your teenage daughter, especially in these relationships where they feel excluded, to really do the right thing and be intentional. Come and join us. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
I wanted to tell Dr. Randy how my husband and I are choosing to be intentional parents. We are not teaching our daughter that happiness is paramount. We actually are teaching her to be a decision maker and to be a faith-based decision maker based on principle, and we're really focusing on right and wrong as opposed to do what makes you happy. So we are teaching her that happiness will be there. It's not something you will have to pursue if you're a faith-based decision maker. So thank you, Dr. Randy, for reminding us all to be intentional and sharing the benefits of other people's intentional living with us. Thank you very much.
It's time to take charge. No more surprises. No more confusion. No more negativity or isolation. It's time to take charge of your Facebook experience with Intentional Living.
And intentional is the key word here. On Intentional Living's Facebook page, you can connect with Dr. Randy and other listeners. Post your stories, comments, and questions. Keep up with the daily shows, topics, and guests. You know, stuff you can do intentionally so you can grow and know you're not alone. Click like at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
Family Life Radio has been a life-changing thing for me. It has really made me be intentional every day, and it's teaching my children wonderful values and my family a new way to survive in this world that has so many things that can hit us all at one time. But it's such an encouragement to have everyone give such wonderful advice. Thanks so much for all you do. My family wouldn't be able to make it and be happy right now if it wasn't for you. You have a wonderful day.
There's a little saying that I share with people often about intentional living. What I say is that when we live intentionally today, we will experience God's blessings tomorrow. You know, every day is a choice. How we're going to live, how are we going to handle our health, our finances, our relationship with Christ, our marriage, our kids, the decisions that we make. And when we choose to be intentional every day, not perfect, but intentional, doing the next right one thing, we're opening the passage to really experience God's intentional love for us. And so that's why it's important to live intentionally and do it every day. You know, we use that word intentional or intentional living well over these last 8 or 10 years of ministry with this topic, with this focus on intentional living. Sometimes, though, I stop and wonder, do we really explain what is intention? I think we sort of intuitively think of it in terms of a goal or an aim or something that we're pursuing, but it's really deeper than that. There's more meaning behind this word of intention. It's powerful, and the scripture even speaks to it. And so this month, I decided to take my lesson. Every month, we do a lesson for members and call it Intentional Living 101, and go back to the basics. What does the word intention mean biblically? What does it mean in terms of your life? What's the difference between intention and a goal or an aim? And what's the difference between that and daily action or a habit? And how does sometimes we can be intentional in our minds, but we can procrastinate and not follow through? Or we can be very busy thinking we're being intentional, but we're weary and tired, and we're really not intentional at all. And so the lesson this month is really intended to teach this in a very powerful way. Members, watch for it. It'll be coming to you, as we say here, in the next week or two. New members, come and join us. Your monthly support will impact someone for Christ starting immediately. Just go to theintentionallife.com to join us. That's theintentionallife.com, and we'll get the video and audio to you by email. You know, we're talking about daughters today, and Carla started off talking about her 13-year-old daughter, and sometimes she's in the popular group, as you heard. Sometimes she's not. It creates problems, and mom wants some help. How do you handle that? So Jasmine is joining us. She's experienced something along the same line. Jasmine, welcome to the program.
Hi.
So you went through this?
Yeah, I went through this in like 6th and 7th grade with kind of the same group of girls. It was really interesting. About a year ago, the one who was the popular one, the ringleader, the one who everyone wanted to be friends with, I confronted her about how she hurt me, and she apologized. And we actually, you know, came to terms on that. We don't talk now, but it did feel good to, I don't know, clear the air, I guess. But what I really wanted to say to Carla was, I guess the best thing to tell your daughter is to really love herself and know that God loves her too. I have spent time cultivating my passions and, you know, getting a greater understanding for who I really am. I think that's what has, you know, helped me the most get out of that bullying phase. And, you know, then you do forge real friendships through life. Yes, it is part of life, but the beauty is that you do get that I guess, extra bit of intentional, you know, noticing the underdog, like the other caller said, mm-hmm. or, you know, noticing the person that's lonely because you were once lonely. So
how did you cope with it when you were back there in sixth grade? How did it feel?
It was hard. I'm not going to back down from that. It was very hard. There were times where I didn't want to go to recess because I knew I would be alone, like Carla's daughter, and I would go into the bathroom, the girls' bathroom, and spend the entire recess period in there hiding. And, you know, if I could go back and see my younger self, I'd give her a huge hug and let her know she's not alone, and let her know about the inner beauty that she has and she only has. It doesn't matter about the acceptance of friends or having a lot of friends. If you've got a great family who loves you and a relationship with God, and those friends will come. And I've got a lifelong friend from eighth grade on. We've been close, and we are to this day. We're both 27 years old, so that's 14 years of friendship right there.
That's fantastic. Well, Jasmine, I'm glad you're listening. Wisdom that you've shared, and I hope we got some young girls listening, too, that are hearing from you as their senior today.
Thank you
for your call.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I listen to my daughter. She's a teenager. And I make sure that my daughter knows that I love her. I tell her she is the best gift I've ever been given. And praise God, I just love her with all my heart. And I just want to thank you guys for your ministry.
Thank you for sharing that. As you were talking, I was thinking of our own granddaughters, 114, 112, and they came back from camp this summer, and they were challenged to be missionaries, to share their faith. And these girls said, hey, we're going to do something to reach moms that maybe are facing an abortion, something that we can help with adoption. And they started a cookie drive to make cookies to sell that they could give to a local crisis pregnancy. And the church got behind it, and this last Sunday, over 100 dozen cookies, 1,200 cookies had to be baked, so more moms could be encouraged and babies saved. And I'm thinking, hey, we're proud of those girls, and I'm sure you're proud of your kids and granddaughters as well. Those are the kinds of daughters that we can raise for this next generation. I hope today's been helpful. Love your comments and your feedback. All you have to do is share with us at 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.